Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 232 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, we're going to talk a lot of Ankeny Centennial volleyball tonight, but right now, my first guest is a familiar face to Ankeny fans here in town. He had to stop by the office, so I thought I'd have him hop on the podcast for a few minutes. He is our photographer, our primary photographer at Ankeny Fanatic. He's Drew Wolf. Drew, thanks for stopping by. How you doing?
Hey, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Doing well. Well, I thought for people that aren't familiar with your background, you can maybe just talk a little bit about, you know, how you got into taking photos. I know you've been doing it for us for a long time, but when did you start taking photos?
I started back when I was in sixth grade. There was a, I can't remember his name now, but a teacher at the school I was at, and kind of got me interested in that. And then I had another mentor that was in one of my dad's students. My dad taught college. And so between those two people, kind of got me started in photography, helped me get my first camera, and kind of took off from there. Did it primarily through high school, but then once I got into college and kind of after that, kind of, you know, the passion for it kind of waned a little bit until the mid-2000s when my a couple of my cousins were really good athletes, and so started shooting them in their sporting events, and so that kind of rekindled my passion for it and kicked off kind of my sports photography career.
Well, I know you played sports yourself back in the day, so obviously you're a big sports fan, so I'm sure it was just kind of a natural thing for you to, if you're going to take photos, that you'd want to take sports photos, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I grew up playing basketball and running track, and those were my two primary sports, and had some success, but, you know, not a lot, but it definitely does help having a little bit of a sports background, shooting sports photography. Kind of know what potentially is going to happen, you know, through the course of a game or a match. So,
well, yeah, if you're watching a sport like volleyball, it kind of helps to know where the ball is going to go, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, of course, we launched Ankeny Fanatic in January of 2018. I think you started working for us, what, maybe about a year later, was it?
It was right around the same time you launched, because I remember I just was shooting a Centennial basketball game, and you were there, and we started talking, and we'd known each other from your Press Citizen days, and so I just like, hey, I can, you know, shoot some games for you if you want. And you're like, well, I'll go over to Ankeny. You're at Centennial if you want to just give me some shots. So I think that's kind of how it started, somewhere in there.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that we've been doing this for almost 6 years now.
Yeah.
Time goes fast.
It does.
Well, I know you have some other responsibilities as well, because you also shoot for Drake quite a bit, don't you?
Yeah. So fortunate, you know, really with my Drake photography, it was a result of Ankeny Fanatic, really, going over there and covering some Ankeny kids that were playing for Drake at the time and getting to know their SIDs and some of the people in the athletic department there, and then them just giving me an opportunity. And so that's kind of turned into a little bit bigger thing here in the last couple of years. So I've really been appreciative of that, and it's been fun photographing Drake sports.
Well, yeah, you've had some cool experiences with that job. I know this last weekend you went up to the Twin Cities. You got to see the Drake football team. And then last winter you got to go out to New York to watch the Drake men's basketball team in the NCAA tournament, didn't you?
Yeah, a couple really, really, really neat opportunities. This one, just this last weekend, the Drake football team played South Dakota State University at Target Field, where the Twins play. And so, you know, seeing that stadium transformed into a football stadium and just that whole experience was pretty cool. And then super lucky to be able to travel with the men's team out to New York last year for the men's NCAA tournament was an awesome experience.
You bet. Well, I know a lot of people here in Ankeny, they already know where to find your photos, but for people who are curious, and I get a call every once in a while, people trying to track down one of your photos, where can they usually find them?
Yeah, so pretty much every game that I'm at, I'll post on my website, which is drewwolf.com. That's just my name spelled out, .com. And there'll be galleries there. And those galleries will be there as long as the website's there. So I do have people every once in a while ask, you know, My kid played, you know, 3-4 years ago. Is it still there? And it should be. So if you ever have a question or need to find something, just let me know. I'm glad to help out.
And for people who don't know Drew, that's Drew spelled D-R-U-E, yeah. Wolf, W-O-L-F-E at what is it?
It's just .com.
At .com. Gotcha. Yeah.
DrewWolf.com.
I'm thinking of your email address. Gotcha.
Well, that's DrewWolf@gmail.com too. So.
Gotcha. Well, we sure appreciate what Drew does for us. He's a great photographer, and it really helps to have his help throughout the busy seasons like we're in right now. So, hey, thanks a lot for stopping by tonight, Drew.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dan. And I super enjoy being able to get to work with you and Ankeny Fanatic and all the student athletes and athletic directors and whatnot with the Ankeny school system. So it's been a blast.
You bet. All right. Well, my first guest tonight after Drew is the longtime head coach of the Ankeny Centennial volleyball team. And she has guided the second-ranked Jaguars to a 16-3 record thus far, including a 3-1 mark in the CIML conference. She is Jessica Reinhart. Coach, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, your team is in the midst of a 2-week layoff right now. You haven't played since last Tuesday when your team defeated number 8 Valley in 4 sets. And you won't be back in action until next Tuesday when you travel to Johnston to face the number 5 Dragons. You know, how's the layoff going? Have you guys been able to fine-tune some things, you know, during practice over the last week?
We have. It's been good. We always enjoy a little downtime when you can focus more on the little parts of the game instead of scouting reports and big picture things. And so it's gone really, really well.
Well, let's recap the season to this point a little bit. You guys opened the season on August 21st with a 4-set loss to Indianola, the number 2 team in Class 4A. I know you told me after that loss that you felt like your team, you know, is a lot better than what you showed, and you've obviously done so over the last month. But you entered the season with just 5 returning varsity regulars, and you were trying to break in some new players. Do you think maybe those newcomers just needed to get their feet wet a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, I think collectively as a team, we just needed to get our feet wet. I knew everybody was nervous that game, and that wasn't typical. And then we implemented a couple different routines and things to help the girls stay loose prior to the next match. And that seemed to have worked and continued. And so I think we just had to remember that it was a game. And I mean, oddly, I think they wanted it so bad that first one was hard for them, but I'm okay with that.
Well, your team bounced back to beat Waukee the next night, and then on the following Saturday, you guys placed second at the Centennial Invitational, where your team defeated 4 ranked opponents, including Ankeny in the semifinals, before falling to Dyke New Hartford, the number 1 team in Class 2A in the finals. So it seemed like your team, you know, made a really big leap in just 1 week. You know, I'm sure you felt, you know, a lot better after that tournament, didn't you?
Yeah, that tournament was awesome. That is who I thought we could be. It was a high level of play, and we just continued to bring it every match of that tournament. And after that weekend, I felt really good about what we were capable of this season.
Well, your team has gone 10-1 since that loss to Dyke New Hartford. Your only loss in September came on the day after Labor Day, when number 1 Dowling Catholic rallied from a 2-1 deficit to beat your squad in 5 sets. Now, Dowling played at Johnston last night and swept the Dragons, so they are now 5-0 in the conference. Now, I'm sure you guys would like to have that match back, but even though you lost, you certainly showed that you're right there with the number 1 team in Class 5A, and you know that has to make you feel good.
For sure. I've told our team this, but I think our best can beat anyone's best. And so learning to live there, being able to stay consistent at that high level, you know, is what we're shooting for. But I do feel like we can play with Dowling. It kind of stunk to get the L that night, but we learned a lot from it, actually, that I think will help us moving forward.
Well, your team has already won 2 tournaments this season. You won the Little Hawk Invitational at Iowa City High on September 2nd for the 3rd straight year. And then the following week, you won the Metro Classic at Southeast Polk, where you avenged that earlier loss to Indianola in the finals. That was the first loss of the season for the Indians. So what was the key to knocking them off? Was it just a matter of playing the way you guys are capable of, or was there some strategic move that you guys made?
No, that was mainly us just playing better. Across the board, we executed more consistently. We got more hitters involved, and we did a better job of shutting down their outsides, which caused us problems last time.
Well, let's talk about some of your individual players before we look ahead to the rest of your season. Delaney Miller leads your team with 201 kills, followed by another junior in Jaden Pratt with 134. Now, I know some of your teams in the past have had very balanced attacks with multiple hitters contributing, you know, on a consistent basis, but this team is clearly not built that way. Delaney and Jaden have combined for over 60% of your team's kills. You know, would you like this team to be a little more balanced, or do you think you can continue to be successful with an attack that is, you know, predominantly built around those two?
We talked about it at our break. It's one goal that we have collectively as a team to get more hitters involved. Delaney and Jaden both stay on the court six rotation, so they also hit out of the back row, which is why they have an even higher number of attempts. But yes, I think for us to win the whole thing or to, you know, finish strong, I think we need to get more hitters involved. But when you've got D. Miller and Jay that can put the ball away too, it's kind of an easy option to go to.
Oh, for sure. Well, those two have certainly stepped up this season, and so has the player who is sitting here with us tonight. A senior middle hitter, Anna Sash, ranks third on the squad with 79 kills, and she's tied for the team lead in blocks with 28. You know, what can you say about her performance this season?
Oh, Anna's been phenomenal. From day one, Anna's flipped the switch on, and she has not flipped it off. It's fun to see as a coach, but she gives us both defense, you know, through her block, and is up and involved in offense. And Anna's a player that when we need to find a way to win, you can count on Anna to get it done. So she's had a great senior year.
Well, and then another senior, setter Cambria Leisure, has played a huge role in the team's success. She's racked up 377 assists and also ranks fourth on the team in kills with 44. And I don't know if you've ever had a setter at Centennial who was as effective as Cam is at dumping the ball for a kill. You know, she's really good at that, isn't she?
She's incredible. And she whipped it out. I can't remember what game we were in. And I was like, I like that. And then we've just continued to build upon that. She's extremely athletic. She jumps well. And people have a really hard time defending her. So I think what she's done this year is phenomenal for our team, and it's fun to watch her continue to build.
Now, the only returning regular, varsity regular that I haven't mentioned is sophomore Maya Lee Butters, who took over the libero position this season and leads the team with 127 digs. Now, I don't know if there's if that's a huge adjustment going from a defensive specialist to a libero, but, you know, she's certainly adapted well, hasn't she?
She's done a great job. I think initially for her, it was kind of intimidating. She was like, yeah, last year I was just the DS. I'm like, yep, but this year you're the libero. And she's really stepped it up. She's grown every day. It's fun to watch her confidence continue to build and see her enjoy the competition more now. And I mean, we can trust her 100% in that back row.
Well, you guys definitely needed some inexperienced players to step up this season, and some of the seniors like Ava Cronenberg and Addie Pollock have done just that. Do you think some of those girls just needed an opportunity to play and kind of had to wait their turn?
For sure. Every year in our program, it's the way that it works. We build each year. We have a very strong JV program, and a lot of players don't get the chance or the opportunity to play until they are seniors. But when they get that chance, they take every advantage of it and really contribute and do fantastic things.
Well, let's talk about your schedule the rest of the way. I mentioned that you guys will go to Johnston on Tuesday, and then the following week you'll host the annual showdown against number 3 Ankeny, and then you'll close out the conference season with road matches at Southeast Polk and number 4 Waukee Northwest. So that's three top five opponents in your final four conference matches. You know, that should be great preparation for the postseason, don't you think?
I agree. You know, I'm excited for our schedule. I think having competition leading up to state is a positive thing, and I'm excited to see how we're going to compete this second half.
Well, I want to get your thoughts on Ankeny. Of course, they entered the season with some high hopes under their new head coach, Liz Bathke, but they've really had to deal with a lot of injuries. Tanith Roush has been out all season with a broken leg, and Eowyn Schrader has missed a lot of time due to an elbow injury. Do you think they can be a dangerous team if they can get healthy?
I do. They really have had the very worst luck from an injury standpoint. It's actually sad to, you know, see and hear about. So they're very solid. You know, it's hard to tell which one of those players or if all those players will come back. But regardless, Ankeny's always solid. They always have people ready to play, and they're always a threat. So, yeah, they'll be ready.
Yeah, I saw their match at Southeast Polk last night, and I mean, they look pretty good even without those two players.
They do, and they are. So they have people that are ready to go regardless of what happens, you know, with the injury situation.
Well, your team also has two tournaments left on the schedule. You'll go to the Urbandale Invitational on September 30th, and then you'll compete at the Westside Invitational at Cedar Rapids Jefferson the following Saturday. I'm guessing you'll see some really strong teams at both of those, won't you?
We do. I know that Hull's always at the Urbandale tournament, and that's always a war. It's usually in the finals. And they're also good preparation, you know, for the state run for us. They're not in our class, so it's fun to play a team that, you know, is top one or two in their class. And then Jefferson, we always face teams that are in the top five that we haven't seen all season. So we enjoy that one, too, just to get a different look at some teams in the state.
Well, obviously, you guys are hoping to peak in the postseason. With your current ranking, you should get a number one seed for a Class 5A regional tournament. Do you know when those regional pairings will come out?
October 2nd, 3rd, roughly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
One of your team's ultimate goals to win a state title. Of course, you led the Jaguars to 4 state championships in your first 6 seasons at Centennial, so you know what it takes to reach that goal. You know, do you feel like this team has the potential to get it done?
Absolutely. You know, winning state is not easy. It requires luck. It requires staying healthy. It requires all the right things happening. But if any group can do it, this group absolutely can.
Well, it should be a fun season the rest of the way. I'm looking forward to it. And thanks a lot for coming in tonight.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, well, my final guest tonight is a senior middle hitter for the Jaguars. As I said before, she ranks 3rd on the squad with 79 kills, and she's tied for the team lead in blocks with 28. She's also contributed 11 aces, and she leads the team with a .385 hitting percentage. She is Anna Sash. Anna, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me today.
Well, congratulations on an outstanding season thus far. Have you been happy with the way that you've played?
Yeah, I have been. I mean, there's always work to do, but it's been a good season. We continue to work with Cam and getting the passes on to get that, and then focusing on our block and closing that is good, too.
Were you kind of enjoying this layoff, from playing matches right now? Are you guys getting a lot done in practice?
Yes. It's been nice to work on more of the details and focus more on us than what other teams are doing and focus on the small things and big picture.
What do you think has been the primary focus for you guys in practice? Is there one particular area that you guys have been working on?
Not really. We've been working on different things. It was coverage today. Sometimes it's transitioning. Just there's always work to be done in every spot. So.
Well, coming into the season, you were 1 of 5 returning varsity regulars for the Jaguars. It was obvious that you guys were going to have to incorporate some new players this season. What kind of expectations did you have coming into the fall? Did you think the team would be pretty competitive?
Yeah, I knew we were going to be competitive. I've played with many of the girls before in past seasons, and I know they're ready to step up and they're ready to play, and they earned their spot, every one of them, on the varsity team, and they're ready to prove that spot and be able to play.
Well, what was your reaction to that season opening loss to Indianola? Did that change your expectations at all?
It didn't change my expectations. I knew we were better than that. It was disappointing. But like Jess said, we almost won it so much that we played them so much in the summer that it almost hurt us. But we moved on and we learned from it, so it's good.
Well, you guys have certainly come on strong since that match. You know, what do you think has been the key to the team's success this month?
I think it's been good to focus on ourselves. We know how we play, and focusing on just the little things like serve and pass are really helping us stay focused and win those games.
Well, we talked with Coach about the loss to Dowling, and that match could end up being the one that decides the conference title. Of course, the top 5 teams in the current Class 5A rankings are from your conference. There really isn't any doubt that your conference is the toughest one in the state. Do you like having to play against the top 5 or top 10 team pretty much just about every week?
Yes, it makes it very interesting, and we're also ready for anything, and we know that we have to compete and show up every game, but it's very fun to compete in those high-level games.
Well, Dowling had a pretty impressive sweep at Johnston last night, and the Maroons are now 5-0 in the conference. They're clearly in the driver's seat in the league race. They have just 3 matches left, and 2 of them are against unranked Southeast Polk and Urbandale, but they do have to go to number 4 Waukee Northwest on October 5th, and the Wolves took a 3-0 mark into last night's match at Waukee. I'm not sure how that one turned out, but, you know, so they could still be unbeaten as well. You guys will finish the regular season at Northwest on October 10th, so mathematically you're still alive. So even though you have a tough remaining schedule, you know, you don't feel like you're out of the race yet, do you?
No. Yes, we want to win it, but also I think the loss at Dowling was good because we were able to learn things from that, and so it's nice to have that, but we're going to keep competing and focusing on ourselves.
Well, you guys lost that match to Dowling in 5 sets, and there doesn't appear to be much separation between the top teams in Class 5A. The other loss that you guys had was against Dyke New Hartford, that number 1 team in Class 2A. And I know Dyke is a perennial powerhouse. How do you think they compare to a team like Dowling? Do you feel like Dyke could be competitive in Class 5A?
Yeah, I think they could. Definitely, they got Peyton Peterson out there on the outside, and Jaden's just some competitive. And they've got good hitters, good setters, good passers, so they could always compete with anyone.
We talked about your upcoming schedule with Coach. You guys will go to Johnston next Tuesday, and then you'll host Ankeny the following week. You know, after losing to the Hawkettes twice a year ago, you did beat them earlier this season at the Centennial Invitational, 25-23, 25-17. What do you remember about that match? What was the key to that win?
I think we're able to focus on ourselves. Just like say, we want to approach every match, no matter who's on the other side. It's still us and what we're doing, so we just wanted to serve and pass and play our game.
Well, since you're a senior, this will be your final matchup against your crosstown rival, unless you guys would happen to meet at the state tournament, which is a distinct possibility. Do you still get a little more fired up to play Ankeny, or do you just try to treat it like any other match?
I try to treat it like every match. Personally, that helps me, but obviously there's a lot of emotions coming in. You know, people are coming to watch, so I like to take it the same, but everyone takes it differently.
Well, Anna, you're a player who shows a lot of emotion on the court, no matter who you're playing. You know, I can't tell you how many pictures my photographer, Drew Wolf, who was just here, and I have from this season where you are screaming in joy, celebrating a winning point for your team. Is that just a natural reaction from you, or do you consciously try to be kind of an emotional leader for your team?
Yeah, I love playing this game. I'm grateful for the opportunity I had to be able to play in this program, the history and the past that's all the players that have come here. I want to represent that and show the joy that I have for being on this team.
Well, you certainly do that. Well, we talked with Coach a little bit, too, about the postseason. You know, I'm sure you're anxious as well to see those regional pairings. Of course, if you guys can make it back to the state tournament, you'll return to the Extreme Arena in Coralville, where the tournament was held last year for the first time. Did you like playing in that arena?
I did. I didn't have any experience playing in the other old one, but it was good. It was nice to have practice courts to play on, and I think it was set up well.
Well, if you guys are able to accomplish your ultimate goal and win a state title, you know, what would that mean to you to finish your high school career in that fashion?
Oh, it would mean everything. I mean, this is what I've dreamed of for so long, and to be able to do these girls and this team that I've played with for so long would be amazing.
Well, Anna, before I let you go, I just wanted to ask you about your future plans. Are you considering playing volleyball in college?
Yeah, I'm going to play at Wartburg and at major in education.
Oh, awesome. Well, hey, thanks a lot for coming in tonight, and good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you.
Yep. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We're constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight. We had Ankeny Fanatic photographer Drew Wolf, along with Ankeny Centennial volleyball coach Jessica Reinhart and senior middle hitter Anna Sash. I appreciate the time from all of those folks. And come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.